From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this Tuesday, January 26th. 2016, we've got a hot show in store for you all. Again, folks, just like each and every weekday here on the show, our phone lines are open. Call 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527 to be a part of today's show. We will chat about MSU football and basketball, folks. Yes, can you believe that signing day is just a few days away? February 3rd, to be exact. And to chat about the MSU football signing day news, latest news, I should say, we'll be inviting Mike Griffith to the show, Michigan State beat reporter for MLive.com and also host of the Spartan Beat, which airs weekdays from 6 to 7 on the team, 92.1 FM. Mike will give his take on the 20 recruits. And, of course, much of that class settled in August. Really odd when looking at MSU's football timeline of events when it comes to their recruiting class for next year. We'll chat about that. Also talk some MSU men's basketball. We'll talk about Rashad Weaver decommitting from U of M. A little Pistons, a little Red Wings. All of that and so much more, folks. Again, phone lines are open, 517-355-9527. But, hey, you know what's next. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners again for this January 26th. Folks, we start with news coming out of the University of Michigan football camp. Rashad Weaver, a defensive end from Cooper City, Florida, he announced on Monday night that he is now no longer committed to the Maize and Blue. He wrote this on Twitter, quote, after being committed for about 7 months, again, Weaver 6'5", 255 pounds, and receiving little to no contact from the staff, I was informed by Coach Jim Harbaugh that there is a 50-50 chance that he would or would not have room for me. So I basically was a plan B, and I know within myself I am not a plan B player, end quote. Now, Weaver attended Michigan Satellite Camp in Miami last year. He visited Michigan, Florida International, and Georgia Southern and held offers from Illinois, Syracuse, South Florida, and Temple. He's considered a three-star recruit by Scout and a two-star by 247 Sports. We will have more on that story in just a sec. You don't want to miss that. Senior Bowl Executive Director Phil Savage said Michigan State defensive end Shalik Calhoun pulled out of the college All-Star game this week at the Senior Bowl because of a wrist injury. Calhoun, who's projected to be taken in the first three rounds of this spring's draft, committed to play in the Senior Bowl after MSU's national semifinal loss at the hands of course, Nick Saban and the Alabama Crimson Tide. He had 49 tackles, 10.5 sacks this year, and helped the Spartans to a 12-2 record and a Big Ten championship. The Michigan State men's basketball team, they fell one spot to number 12 in the Associated Press Top 25 poll after a week consisting of a loss to Nebraska and a win over Maryland. Michigan received one 25th place vote. Oklahoma, North Carolina, Iowa, Kansas, and Texas A&M, they round out your top five. In this week's AP women's poll, the Michigan State women's basketball team moved up three spots to number 18. Michigan State men's basketball coach Tom Izzo in Flint, of course, have deep history. And now he's taking a call for action as the city deals with a severe water crisis. Here's what he had to say. Quote, I know our university is getting involved in that, and I had a little reunion over the weekend. And, of course, a lot of guys came back from Flint. I just feel awful about what's going on up there. I had no idea on all of the circumstances to everything, but I hope some way, somehow, there's enough out there that instead of complaining about what's going on, we can start helping what's going on. And I know MSU is taking some initiatives, and I don't know everything right now, but I want to find out a little more. It's not about our team going up there and handing out water and getting in the media. It's about a way bigger problem than that. Hats off to Izzo for commenting on that situation out in Flint. The Detroit Red Wings, they topped the New York Islanders last night, 4-2, improving to 7-1 on the road in the month of January. Detroit goaltender Peter Mrazek made 27 saves and improved to 18-9-4. The Wings are off until after the NHL All-Star Game, which, yes, takes place this weekend. The Detroit Pistons, Reggie Jackson, he scored 29 points, and the Pistons never trailed in a 95-92 win over the Utah Jazz. It certainly got a bit dicey at the end, though, didn't it? The Pistons are now 24-21. They ended a two-game losing streak. Ersan Ilyasova scored 16 points and had 8 rebounds for the Pistons. Anthony Tolliver scored 12 and had 6 boards off the bench. The Pistons will now host the Philadelphia 76ers tomorrow. The Duke Blue Devils, folks, they have lost again. This time on the road last night against the 15th-ranked Miami Hurricanes. 80-69, the final of that one, after losing 4 of their last 5. Number 24 Duke could find themselves unranked for the first time since 2007. They currently hold the longest active streak of 167 weeks in the AP Top 25 poll. Duke is 9th in the ACC with a 4-4 conference record, while Miami has a 5-2 conference record. And last but certainly not least, Serena Williams. Yes, the number one tennis player in the world. She beat Maria Sharapova for the 18th time in a row after a 55-minute first set, then running away with it 6-4, 6-1 to advance to the semis of the Australian Open. She'll face Poland's Azienka Radwanska on Thursday. All right, well, those are your current sports quick hit headliners. Folks, our phone lines are open. It's about that time to start the show. To the show, ladies and gents, boys and girls, you are now tuned into another fantastic edition of Current Sports with me, Al Martin. We've got a hot one in store for you, as I chatted about at the top of the hour. Mike Griffith, he will be a part of the show for the very first time. That's got to be a crime. Got to be a crime. But we're going to have Mike on to talk a little MSU football recruiting. He'll also weigh in on the MSU men's basketball team. And so much more. You don't want to miss that. Also, during the back end of the show, we'll chat about the Detroit Pistons. They squeaked out a really close game against the Utah Jazz last night. They had a double-digit lead, but the Utah Jazz stormed back in the waning minutes of that contest. But they get a dub nonetheless. The Detroit Red Wings also went on the road, as mentioned. They topped the New York Islanders. And Florida State University settling the case. That is, of course, Jameis Winston. That's an interesting story in itself. We'll dive into that on the back end of the show. But I want to start the show with, of course, what you just heard in that montage. Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors just put it to the San Antonio Spurs last night. 120-90, the final of that game. Curry scored 37 points. He hit 6 3-pointers. in just, what, three quarters? I mean, that's just unbelievable. Steph Curry is just playing on another stratosphere right now. And a lot of people looking forward to this game because I do believe, Isaac, this was the first time that the Warriors and Spurs had met up all year.
All year.
How does that happen? January 25th, we go month after month after month and have not seen the Warriors and Spurs get it on, but they did last night, and it wasn't even close. Actually, I was talking to Isaac. I turned the game off around the third quarter. Just total domination. Total domination. It's so fun watching Steph Curry play. He's the most entertaining player in all of basketball right now. I mean, it's like watching a video game on a nightly basis. Anytime Curry hits the hardwood, I mean, he can pull up from three anywhere on the court. He's got this cool, you know, like pregame, you know, routine in which he like shoots from the NBA logo of the respective squad, whether it be at home or on the road. And he just makes it look easy. Nothing but the bottom of the net for him. I mean, he's the greatest shooter we have ever seen in the game. And, you know, I think he's a pretty underrated ball handler as well. I mean, Steph can score in multiple ways. They could not slow him down. There are so many weapons on that Golden State Warriors team. Draymond Green was solid. We saw Klay Thompson able to put the ball in the bucket as well. Just total domination in a game that I thought was going to be really, really close. The San Antonio Spurs, they've had the best start in franchise history, but they go out with a whiff last night. 120-90, the final of last night's game. The Golden State Warriors, they out-rebounded the Spurs 45-38 last night. They forced San Antonio to cough up the ball, 25 times? 25 turnovers for the San Antonio Spurs. That's so uncharacteristic of a Greg Popovich team. They beat them in fast break points. They had 19 fast break points in comparison to 10 from San Antonio. And the biggest lead of the game for the Golden State Warriors last night was 33. And they also, speaking of, you know, points in the paint as well, 52-36 advantage for the Warriors. This team is clicking on all cylinders right now, Isaac. And you just made a comment before we just took the air, and you did mention how you don't believe that the San Antonio Spurs, they didn't show their entire hand last night because, of course, Tim Duncan didn't play. And you also noted that they didn't have Kawhi Leonard guarding Steph Curry that entire game, even though, even when Kawhi did guard Steph, it didn't matter. It didn't matter last night, Isaac.
Steph will embarrass anybody, you know that. So does everybody else. But, yeah, I don't believe that the Spurs showed their whole hand, as is typical of Greg Popovich teams in the regular season. He understands that his primary cast is aging, and Tim Duncan, Tony Parker, guys like that, they need rest. So, of course, Tim Duncan was not playing last night. But even so, I mean, Al, you mentioned 25 turnovers. They had 21 assists. They had an assist-to-turnover ratio. It was under one. That's unheard of for NBA team, let alone the best passing team we've seen in recent years in the San Antonio Spurs. So kudos to the Warriors. They really are just a great team. No sense of a drop-off whatsoever since Steve Kerr has returned, which was, I believe, on Friday, and taken back over for Luke Walton. And it's just been an excellent year for this team. And Steph Curry, the guy, no matter who is on him, what defense he's facing, he finds a way to get open, get his shot off. Well, no, he doesn't find a way to get open. He just finds a way to make it covered. And it's unbelievable to watch. I thought we'd have basketball to watch, and apparently we didn't.
Yeah, you know, and there were a lot of games on last night. I was flipping my NBA Leapcast from game to game to game last night because that was really the only thing to watch last night. Other than, you, all right, I must admit, Isaac, and you always call
me out
for this.
There were no other games on last night.
Well, I was watching, you know, Love and Hip Hop last night, man. It was an interesting episode last night, I must say.
Okay. I thought you were going to bring up my Pels.
No, well, the Pelicans did lose to the Houston Rockets, but, I mean, that's just – the Pels are struggling this year. We all know that. I mean, they're not even in the contention to make any noise when playoff time comes, because I don't think they're going to make the playoffs this year. But Anthony Davis had a concussion last night. Not sure how long that's going to keep him out. But James Harden with the dagger. Oh, my goodness. I mean, just a baby back down, turn around, game over, just like that. So, your Pelicans are struggling. But, I mean, the NBA was really the only thing on last night. So, of course, Monday night, turn on VH1. That was me as well. Watch Love and Hip Hop, then turn to my Pistons as well. I was kind of like channel flipping. We're going to talk about the Pistons on the back end of the show as well. The Detroit Pistons finally getting out of a funk. Reggie Jackson, I know you're not a big fan of Reggie Jackson, but he was awesome last night. Without Reggie, and of course, those clutch free throws that he hit down the stretch of that game, the Pistons lose. Folks, the phone lines are open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Before moving forward, I got to mention also that Paul Canindyke will be my guest this week on Current Sports TV. If you want to be a part of that live studio audience, you can do so by simply going to WKAR.org. Paul is a writer for Spartan Mag. He does one fantastic job there. This is going to be his first time on the show. We'll talk some MSU hoops and recruiting with him as well. Again, signing day days away now. Days away. So, again, if you want to be a part of Current Sports TV's live audience, again, WKAR.org. Sign up online for free, and then you just have to show up here on the first floor of the Communication Arts and Sciences Building on the campus of Michigan State University. Recruiting, recruiting, recruiting. You guys know that this is, when it comes to the sporting year, my least favorite time of the year. I absolutely despise recruiting. I absolutely hate recruiting from the depths and core of my soul. But, you know, the reason I say that, because we see great recruiting stories, and then we see recruiting stories that are just like nightmares. And, you know, the reason I say that is because there are two examples in particular that have come out and have been released to the public concerning Jim Harbaugh and the U of M football team and two recruits that Harbaugh, I guess, had his eye on, but now no longer does. Now, the later story that I want to bring up first, and that I mentioned in our Quick Hit Headliners, concerns Rashad Weaver. Now, if you don't know who Rashad Weaver is, he is a defensive end from Cooper City, Florida. And he announced on Monday night that he is now no longer committed to play for Jim Harbaugh and the Michigan Wolverines. Now, it said that Rashad, he had been committed for, 7 months? He then received no contact from the staff, the coaching staff at U of M. And then Jim Harbaugh, really out of the blue, tells him that there is just a 50-50 chance that he would have room for him in the upcoming recruiting class. And direct quote from Weaver here, which I just read in our headliners: after being committed for about 7 months and receiving little or no contact from the staff, I was informed from Jim Harbaugh that there is a 50-50 shot, blah, blah, blah. So basically, I was a plan B. And I know within myself, I am not a plan B player. This is the ugly part of recruiting, because there are two ways you can look at this. The first lens you can look at this and say, oh, man, that's really ugly. Why would Jim Harbaugh wait this late in the recruiting process? Folks, this is January, the end of January. Signing day is in February, folks. February 3rd, to be exact. Why did it take this long for Jim Harbaugh to tell Weaver that, 50-50 shot, not sure if we'll have room for you to be a part of this squad? Why would he wait this late into the process to let him know that? And then there's the other lens that looks at it from a business perspective. And this is just how recruiting goes, folks. The recruiting process is ugly at times. Many times. You know, not at times. Many times the recruiting process is just, ugh. And that's why I hate it. Because from the business standpoint, I mean, Jim Harbaugh can do this. It's not like he has already signed his national letter of intent, folks. If you have not signed a piece of paper, that national letter of intent that says that, yeah, I'm committed to go play here, then guess what? The recruiting process has flaws in it. And you can pull out and say, I don't want to go to that school anymore. And on the contrary, the coaching staff can say, you know what? We don't know if we have room for you anymore. It acts within its means in that regard. And that's why recruiting can become so ugly. Now, I also want to note this. After Rashad Weaver put this post on his Twitter account on Monday saying that, yeah, this is what Jim Harbaugh had to say. I'm not a plan B. I'm going to go elsewhere. He got a lot of backlash on his Twitter, not directly at him, but directed at Jim Harbaugh. A lot of people bashing Jim Harbaugh. He came out and decided to produce a few more tweets and said, you know what, hey, this is the process. It's a business at the end of the day. Jim Harbaugh is a great coach, and he knows what he's doing. So at the end of the day, Rashad Weaver, which I found very admirable for this kid to come out and do, because he didn't have to do this. He could have just let the fire, you know, he could have just let people just continue to add logs to the fire and just let the madness ensue. But he came out and decided to put out some tweets and said, you know what, Jim Harbaugh is a great guy. He's a good coach. He knows what he's doing. It's a business. Let's move on. Did not have to do that. And I found that particularly interesting, another interesting layer to this story as well. So Weaver, he attended Michigan Satellite Camp in Miami last year, visited Michigan, Florida International, Georgia Southern, and held offers from Illinois, Syracuse, South Florida, and Temple. So even with Michigan out of the picture here, he's still got some offers from other places, and I think he's going to make the right decision at the end of the day. So it's not like, you know, Michigan was the only school to offer Weaver a scholarship. He does have other schools that he's looking at. And, you know, I think he this kid is going to make the right decision, the decision that's best for him. Now, there was another story that actually occurred earlier than this one that had a lot of people talking even before Rashad Weaver's tweet. And that concerned Eric Swenson. If you don't know who Eric Swenson is, he is a tackle at Downers Grove South High School in Chicago, Illinois. Now, it was announced this week that he was reopening his recruitment after Michigan pulled his scholarship offer. Again, Swenson, 6'7", 310 pounds. He's seen as the country's number 30 tackle recruit, according to 247 Sports. He gave his non-binding pledge to the Wolverines as a high school sophomore in November of 2013. Now, if you remember who was the head coach around that time, Brady Hoke was Michigan's head coach during November of 2013. Harbaugh, the coach now. And, you know, right now, apparently, there just isn't interest anymore from Harbaugh's camp, you know, concerning the recruitment of Eric Swenson. But it looks as though it was just about a month ago. And I'm reading this from an article. This is from the WashingtonPost.com. And they're reporting that the Chicago Tribune's Bob Nareg talked to Swenson. And this is how the article goes. I'm reading directly from this article from the Washington Post. Quote, Swenson, whose room at home is adorned with Michigan posters, said he spoke with Wolverines offensive coordinator and offensive line coach Tom Drevno about a month ago. Now, this is a direct quote coming from Eric. Quote, he said, get ready to play for us and keep working. Getting stronger and faster. We're looking forward to you playing for us. Swenson continued, quote, fast forward a month. They called me last week saying I should reopen my recruitment and take other visits. My family and I were shaken by it. That's when the whole mess started. Swenson said he called Drevno twice this week. When I say this week, I'm referring to last week. Asking if he still had a scholarship to Michigan. And the first question was answered with a maybe. He says, quote, I called again on Tuesday, and I was told that there were no spots left by Coach Drevno. I tried to talk to Coach Harbaugh, but he didn't want to talk to me. You know, my grandmother used to always say, Isaac, you know, there's three sides to every story. There's, you know, the defending side, the opposing side, and then there's the truth. On the contrary of this discussion, Michael Spath of Michigan's Rivals.com, he tells a slightly different story, but, you know, it does have the same ending. Michael reports this, quote, 2 weeks ago, when we began dropping major hints in our Inside the Fort columns, we were told that Swenson was no longer a Michigan commitment. We have also been told by multiple sources, though admittedly one of those sources on the Michigan side, that the Swensons were told back in November that he no longer held a committable offer. We were also told by a source out of Downers Grove that the Michigan coaches asked Swenson to camp at U of M over the summer so the staff could properly evaluate him, but he refused. And we were told that it was understood that Swenson's senior year would serve as an evaluation period, because this coaching staff had never seen him in person and wanted to know if he was a good fit for the program. This, ladies and gents, is why I absolutely despise the recruiting process. This is the prime example. A kid, we're talking about a kid here, who's trying to decide where he wants to further his football talents, but not only that, his respective education, and you have a coaching staff that seemingly, and I want to put that in quotes because, again, you have two sides to this whole thing, that seemingly seems to be playing around with that notion of not only his higher education, but also his athletic talents in the world of football. It seems to me that when you offer a kid, the commitment should be a hard offer. I hate it when I read a story about a kid who wants to go to a respective program, who verbally commits to that program, the program offers him a scholarship, him or her, and then all of a sudden, later on down the line, the program decides to renege on that offer, putting the kid in a hard spot, putting the kid's family in a tough spot. And then on the contrary, you can argue the other side of this, because how many times have we seen kids out there who are trying to debate on where they want to further their athletic talent, which school they want to go to? How many times have we seen kids say, hey, yeah, I'm going to Michigan State? And then all of a sudden, you know, as signing day, you know, nears, they pull out of the process. You just don't know what you're getting at the end of the day. And if this story is true about Eric Swinson, I really feel bad for the kid, because that is just ugly business at the end of the day. Folks, I am curious to get your thoughts on this story, on the recruiting wars, that is. Call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Let's go to line one right now. We've got Kirk from Grand Ledge. Kirk, how you doing, brother?
Just fine, Al. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday to you, too.
Thank you.
Hey, I just want to let you know that the writer from the Chicago Tribune followed up on Michael Spath's stuff. Spath writes for the Wolverine and is one of the biggest Wolverine fan journalists there is. Mm-hmm. And the guy from the Tribune followed up Spath's article and debunked about three-quarters of whatever he wrote.
He debunked what Spath had to say.
Right.
Aha. Uh-huh. So now it becomes really, really ugly now. That's more fuel to the fire. Oh my goodness. This is messy.
Here's the other part that, you know, I have two feelings about this whole thing. And one is that the whole U of M style here, I mean, this really shouldn't come as too much of a surprise, because as they were getting 22, 23, 24 recruits, and people were looking at the roster going, well, they should only have 18 slots left open. Who's going to go? Mm-hmm. It shouldn't be a surprise that they're telling, you know, redshirt juniors not to come back, and it shouldn't be a surprise that they're eliminating some of their commitments, too. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this shouldn't be that much of a surprise. Where I think it'll hurt Michigan certainly isn't this year, but maybe down the road. You mentioned that Weaver went to the, I think they called it the summer storm camp or whatever down in Miami.
Right, right.
I think the couple of commitments they got from that camp both have been eliminated in this process. And if you don't think that the SEC and ACC schools, next time they try to do a satellite camp down south, won't make everybody and their brother know down south that, hey, why go to this camp and maybe be enamored and commit when they'll just take it away from you later?
Yeah, it adds a bad aura to the program right now. Very, very true. But you know what's so remarkable, though, is that when looking at last year, and this is something I'm going to ask Mike Griffith about and get his thoughts on as well. When looking at last year's recruitment for U of M, they were ranked 50th, according to Rivals.com. Right now, with all of that being said, with all this discussion we're having right now, they are ranked 4th in the nation when it comes to overall recruiting. So whatever right. Jim Harbaugh is doing, no matter how it's getting done, point blank right. period. So it's hard to argue with the proof in the pudding.
Well, here's my flip side feeling about the whole thing, okay? As grimy and slimy as this feels of telling a kid 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks before signing day, hey, you should open up your, reopen your commitment. As slimy as that feels, I'd rather they do it now than what the SEC schools do, where they oversign, and then the kids don't find out that they don't have a scholarship until the day they show up in, you know, in August to play on the team. And it's like, well, you can eat a gray shirt or you can walk on, but we don't have a scholarship for you because we oversigned and we don't have a spot.
Right.
And those kids are the ones that are really put in a lurch then. What are they supposed to do?
That
you know,
is
kind
very
of thing.
True. Yeah.
So I guess I'd rather if they're going to be dirty about it, I'd rather have them be dirty before signing day than at the beginning of August when they're showing up at camp.
Jump in the mud bath right now rather than later, huh?
Yeah. You know,
I got you.
I mean, at least it's Rasheed Wallace or whatever, or Eric Swenson or whatever, has an opportunity to call around to other schools that were recruiting him to say, hey, do you have a spot open? Are you still interested? And maybe places don't. You know, Illinois or whoever, you know, was listed as those things, maybe those schools don't have any spots open. But maybe they do. Or
right.
Maybe they wind up someplace, you know, and they're still getting their education for free, you know,
right,
of
right.
which, you know, I paid plenty of my student loans. I certainly paid plenty for my kids' student loans. Getting an education for free is not a bad thing.
No, not at all. I'm still paying Sallie Mae off. Kirk, great call, my man. Appreciate
care,
that.
Al.
All right, you too. Great call. Gotta love that. Love when Kirk calls in. Great insight there. And, yeah, this is just the world of recruiting, folks. I mean, with that being said, as ugly as it may seem from a moral standpoint, hey, it does not go against the grain of the rules of recruiting. It allows for it, to be honest. Isaac, quick thoughts before we hit this first break. What do you think about this story? Well, these stories.
I'm conflicted on them as well. I think there are two sides to every story, and it seems like with Rashad Weaver, first off, props to that kid for fessing up that, you know, Harbaugh is not a bad guy for saying all of that after Harbaugh pulls the commitment from him, because that takes a lot of class. That's a future captain on whatever team he is.
I agree.
But Eric Swenson, on the other hand, I've got a bigger problem with that. If the kid commits to sophomore year in high school, I don't know. I feel like you're kind of playing master puppeteer with the kid's future and all his dreams and everything like that. So I'm not a big fan of this process. At the same time, I understand it. And, you know, some friends and I were talking about the U.S. democracy recently. It's kind of like the whole Guantanamo Bay thing. You don't necessarily want to know what goes into a good product. You know what I mean?
But what makes this so sticky is we're talking about kids, man.
I know.
These are kids.
But they've got the number
These
four recruiting class in the nation.
Right.
And the stories on Bleacher Report are not this. The stories on Bleacher Report are Harbaugh's going over to sleep over.
Right,
Harbaugh's wearing khakis and no shirt.
Yeah.
Those are the stories on Bleacher Report getting national attention and making this program so popular.
Well, that ain't how we roll here at Current Sports. We talk about
it all,
right? and going back to Rashad Weaver's tweet, this is exactly what he tweeted. Again, this tweet occurred yesterday, last night actually, at 10:34 p.m. Quote, Harbaugh is not garbage or trash like you guys are calling him. It is his team, and he knows what he is doing. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will be inviting, for the first time ever, Mike Griffith, Michigan State beat reporter for MLive.com and host of the Spartan Beat on the Team 92.1 FM. You don't want to miss that and so much more. Don't touch that dial. Don't you do it. You are listening to Current Sports. Welcome back to WKR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. All right, let's bring along our guest for today's show. Very excited to have him on for the first time ever. That's ridiculous that we're just now getting him on. Mike Griffith, Michigan State beat reporter for MLive.com and host of the Spartan Beat which airs weekdays from 6 to 7 p.m. on the Team 92.1 FM. Mike, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing well, Al. Good to hear you.
Great to have you on today, Mike. You know, to start off this convo, I want to first bring up something I saw as very interesting. You tweeted this out last night, I believe, or sometime yesterday. Actually, yesterday morning. And you retweeted the latest, one of the latest articles from Athlon Sports, which actually lists the 10 toughest players to replace in the Big Ten in 2016. And you retweeted it, and you put above the tweet, ridiculous and naive to leave Connor Cook off the list. I mean, because I thought it was ridiculous, too. I looked at the list, and I'm saying, how can you not have Connor on this list? Why do you think he was absent from that listing?
You know, nowadays, you know, everybody's got a blog, and I actually called Athlon. I've written for Athlon for, gosh, since, I guess, 21 years, whether I was covering Alabama or Tennessee, or now I'm covering Michigan State, and I do the preview on the Spartans. And so I called the editor, and I said, you know, Mitch, his name is a great guy, Mitch Lay, lives in Nashville. I said, you know, Mitch, this is ridiculous. And he explained, you know, that, you know, it's just kind of like ESPN.com versus ESPN. There's a lot of people, you know, a lot of associates, people that'll, you know, part-time do some pieces. And so it's really not, you know, that magazine's credibility. It's just there's so much volume on the internet. And sometimes somebody writes an article that maybe doesn't have the perspective that they should have if they're going to write a Big Ten-wide story, in my opinion. I mean, no offense to Jake Rudock in Michigan, but mm-hmm. I think Connor Cook would be much harder to replace as the school's all-time winningest quarterback and all-time leading passer than a guy like Jake Rudock who came for 1 year and is gone. That's, you know, I just common sense. But above and beyond that, Al, to suggest that, you know, that you know, maybe Michigan State offensive lineman or a defensive lineman. I mean, look, Connor Cook is the first quarterback at Michigan State to be the All-Big Ten first-team quarterback since 1965.
Right.
He's gone 5-1 against top 10 teams. He's 34-5. He's won two of the BCS-level New Year's Six Bowls in the last 3 years. There's not another quarterback that compares in college football. So I think sometimes, and after talking with the Athlon editor, he said, well, you know, Mike, sometimes people outsmart themselves or, you know, try to be the smartest guy in the room. But to me, the Connor Cook bashing is Michigan State bashing in disguise. I talked with Mike Sadler earlier today, and I'll probably write some about this in the next day or two. Mm-hmm. But you know what, in my opinion, what Connor Cook has done to upset so many people in the media is beat Michigan and Ohio State when he wasn't supposed to. To me, it's veiled Michigan. I don't get it. I just don't get it. I don't understand why some people in the media would be willing to retweet hearsay and bash a kid's character. That just seems irresponsible to me.
And that's a great segue into my next question because, yeah, I've seen, you know, just – you know, from when it comes to just forums online, you know, fans of the college football realm coming out and really questioning Connor Cook's personality, saying that he has personality issues. Of course, they always bring up the moment at the Big Ten championship after, you know, the dust had settled and Michigan State had beaten, you know, had won the championship. And then the snatching of the trophy from Archie Griffin after winning. What are your thoughts on this, and why do you think this conversation, why has it reached this realm, and how do you think Connor Cook is dealing with this whole thing?
Well, Connor Cook is working out in San Diego and, you know, getting 100% healthy. I mean, clearly, Al, he wasn't himself after the Maryland game. A lot of people ask me why I don't think they did better on offense. I said, well, when your quarterback can't throw in practice, you know, like he normally does, of course your timing is going to be off, and how do you add new plays when you've got a quarterback who's got a limited number of throws and practices? I mean, it was a tough situation. I admire Connor for coming back and finishing the season, even though he wasn't 100%. He kind of put his draft stock on the line. Mm. Some guys would have walked away, and that had been the end of the season for him. But he was back out there performing as a leader, doing what he could do, even though he couldn't make all the throws. You know, as to why all this is happening now, I mean, it's a clear case of, you know, to me, the NFL is the most powerful sports industry out there. Of all the sports leagues, I think the NFL is king. And this is not the first time that the NFL has successfully been able to use the media. You know, we saw that a little bit with the Ray Rice situation. You know, I think we see it in other cases and circumstances. We kind of make heroes out of who we want. And and vilify certain people. That's how the NFL works. And right now there's a lot of NFL teams that are hoping that Connor Cook slides past 15 in the first round. And they're hoping that they can get him for a steal. He is the most NFL-ready quarterback in the draft. And you could argue that some of these guys have more upside, but if you want to evaluate these quarterbacks on what they've done to this point and who's played in the best NFL system, it's clearly Connor Cook. He's made the best throws. So I think a lot of it is the NFL using the media, trying to sandbag him. I mean, if we're going to talk about character, let's just look at who got drafted first last year. I mean, and let's look at – and if we really want to talk about character, Al, and try and judge people and, you know, listen, I'm not saying Connor Cook is citizen of the year. I'm not saying he's a Boy Scout, okay? Mm-hmm. I'm sure he was out at Rick's and he had a couple beers. I'm sure he dated more than one woman. He's not going to marry the first woman he had sex with, all right? Let's go back and take a look at Peyton Manning and what happened with him in that mooning incident and the sexual harassment case against him. Mm-hmm. And then let's look at Cam Newton and the allegations his father asked for $185,000 and the fact that he was kicked out of court. Are we really going to talk about Connor Cook's personality? Not that Connor Cook didn't do anything like this. There's no lawsuits against him. There's no crimes that have been committed, Al.
Right.
What has he really done to deserve this sort of cross-examination when you compare him with other quarterbacks in the past? I think the whole thing is crazy, and I think the media is being used, and I think a lot of these guys that are just parroting information and hearsay ought to be ashamed of themselves and have their credentials pulled.
And you know, exactly, and that's a great point you bring up, Mike, because this is a kid who's just gone out and won games and done it like no other quarterback has done it in Michigan State football history, and has had no off-the-field issues, which you can't say with a lot of quarterbacks coming out and trying to enter the NFL draft. How much do you think this will hurt Connor Cook's draft stock? Because I still believe that he will be taken in that first round. You got to believe that, though, right?
Absolutely. I don't think he goes lower than 15, and I don't think it hurts his draft stock at all. I think it makes idiots out of guys like Mel Kiper that suggest he'll be a second or a third round. I mean, Mel Kiper got used on Jameis Winston, too. I remember when Mel Kiper was saying he was going to drop him out of the first round after some recent when he jumped up on a table and yelled. So I don't remember Connor Cook doing that either, by the way. But,
right.
You know, this might just knock Jameis out of the – this is all hearsay. It's all a bunch of bull. It's what happens this time of year when they cross-examine these guys. They try and lower their stock. They start kicking the tires and looking for scratches. And the bottom line is this. Connor Cook is a transparent guy. He doesn't play nice. He doesn't tell the media what they want to hear, but he tells you the truth. He tells you what's on his mind, and you don't have to like him, but by gosh, Al, you respect him. And that's the way I looked at covering Connor Cook for 3 years. I knew if I asked Connor Cook a stupid question that he would call me out on it. I didn't ask him any, but I saw other guys that did, and I'd see some of his expressions, and I'd see some of his remarks, and Connor was just really – and I think, you know, another thing that I don't know if I would say it hurts Connor Cook, but let's remember that before Connor Cook, who to me is just like the guy, you know, Connor Cook's just a real dude, okay?
Mm-hmm.
He's a successful, good-looking guy who can be a bit of a smart aleck, but he's funny, he's good, he knows it, he's transparent, he holds himself to a high standard. I think he's fine. But before Connor Cook, Al, we're talking about a guy in Kirk Cousins.
Right, right.
Who may be the most squeaky clean, best character guy I have ever run across in my life.
Exactly.
I mean, if God created a football player, it would be Kirk Cousins. I mean,
right.
There's nothing wrong with this. So I think part of it is if you want to compare Connor Cook to Kirk Cousins, okay, mm-hmm. On that scale, maybe he's a 5. Who isn't
right.
a 5 compared to Kirk Cousins?
Exactly.
I mean, when you get right down, who is Kirk Cousins? So let's give Connor Cook a break, I think.
I totally agree. And I've never even thought about that. That's a great point as well. Mike Griffin, Michigan State beat reporter for MLive.com and also host of the Spartan Beat, which you can hear weekdays 6 to 7 p.m. on the team, 92.1 FM. Now, the Senior Bowl is coming up, Mike, and, of course, it was reported earlier that Shalique Calhoun, he will not take part in that game because of a wrist injury. For those that really don't know a lot about the Senior Bowl, can you sort of put in perspective how big of an opportunity this is for college, you know, talent to showcase their skills to NFL execs?
Well, I mean, it's football basically shrunk down to its bare essentials. It's one-on-one linemen against defensive linemen with 1,000 NFL people surrounding the field. You know, it's 7-on-7 drills with the All-American DB from Texas against the wide receiver from Idaho. It never got to play that level. It's guys going head-to-head. You can't hide behind your teammates anymore. And, you know, it was always interesting for me when I lived in Mobile, Alan, I covered it, and then I covered it in Tennessee because a lot of guys from Tennessee would go down there. Mm-hmm. You know, you'd see the helmets, and you would expect the USC guy to, you know, to beat the guy from Alcorn State. And it wasn't always the case because it was no longer program against program. It was player against player. So it's a huge opportunity. The NFL likes to evaluate these guys. The practices are actually more valuable than the games. In the case of Shalik and Connor Cook not going, I mean, a lot of quarterbacks that are projected to be the first or second quarterback taken don't go to the Senior Bowl. What does Connor Cook really have left to prove? There's plenty of film on him. He's gone to go up against the best competition in the country already. We all know that, you know, his shoulder was not 100% against Alabama. He wasn't throwing with the same velocity, still not making the same throws. The best thing that Connor Cook can do right now is get that shoulder 100% so that when he goes to the combine and they do the medical examination, the shoulder checks out. When he goes for individual workouts and throws to NFL receivers and team camps, he's got his velocity. You know, playing in the Senior Bowl right now, there's nothing for him to prove. Shalik Calhoun, same thing. Shalik has been wearing a wrist brace for a long time, played last year injured all year long. And again, another guy that put the team first, played hurt. And if he were to go down there and do these one-on-ones and with one wrist instead of two, he'd be doing himself a disservice. But he's another guy. There's plenty of film on him. You know, the only bad thing is he won't maybe get to meet as many teams one-on-one and have those off-the-field meetings. But there's plenty of times for that for guys like Shalik and Connor, both of which are probably going to go in the first two rounds and have plenty of interest. You know, it's more important for a guy like Aaron Burbridge. You know, people have some questions. How much of it was Burb? How much of it was Cook? How much of it was the routes?
Now you mentioned Cook and where do you think he's going to go in this upcoming draft, Mike? But you know, guys like Shalik Calhoun, you know, Jack Conklin, Jack Allen. Where do you see those guys going this upcoming draft, and who do you think is going to have the most success at that next level? And on the contrary as well, when evaluating, you know, these games like the Senior Bowl and even the NFL Combine, Mike, do you think too much, you know, evaluation is harped on those moments instead of just looking at what these kids did throughout their 4 years or so and playing college football?
Well, I would compare it to buying a car. And to me, the Senior Bowl is the test drive. Most of us, before we buy a car, we've researched the model. We've looked at the J.D. Power & Associates ratings. We've asked a lot of questions. Anybody else you know drives that brand or that year or that model. But the Senior Bowl is an opportunity to see it with your own two eyes. There's film, plenty of film of these guys, but there's nothing like seeing it with your own two eyes. No, in the case of many of these guys, I've got a friend who's a scout, and he's hardly the only scout that comes to Spartan Stadium. These guys have already been scouted. The scouts have already seen it. But, yeah, the head coach wants to see these guys, and sure, it's convenient to see them all on one field. It makes it a little bit easier. But the fact of the matter is, when we're talking about a franchise pick, a first-round pick like a Connor Cook or a Jack Conklin, mm-hmm. you're going to fly these guys in. You're going to get them up close and personal. Would you prefer to test drive them, you know, in your neighborhood? Sure you would. But you don't have to. You know, you can go up to the dealership and, you know, drive around Okemos or, you know, East Lansing and know how it'll drive in Mason or Charlotte or DeWitt or whatever. So I don't know if I'd say too much is made of it. I think it's another level of scouting. I don't think you have to have it. Sure, these coaches would love to have the guys there. You know, the combine is important. The NFL's big on metrics and numbers, and there's a reason for that. I mean, it's percentage football, and by and large, the big, strong, and fast guys are the best, Al. I mean, every now and then, you'll get a Doug Flutie that'll slide through there and do some great things, but for the most part, the numbers are telling. And I think you'll see these Spartan players at the combine. I know this, you'll see them at Pro Day in East Lansing. You'll probably see every NFL team will be right there at the Michigan State Complex there to watch. Guys like Connor Cook and Shalik Calhoun and Darian Harris go through that pro day workout in East Lansing in March. So these guys can't get enough. They're getting ready to invest millions in them. It's not a deal breaker, though, if they're not at the Senior Bowl.
Mike, the MSU football team had 20 commitments by the end of August. What's that say about where this program is? And I'm curious, who are you the most excited about seeing in a green and white jersey in the coming years?
Well, Well, you know, the reason they had that many commitments is, you know, those were the level one offers, and you heard Mark D'Antonio talk a little bit about it, you know, the other day. They kind of go out there and they kind of the first wave, you know, Michigan, Ohio, Indiana, Illinois, all the states that touch Michigan. I think you could throw Pennsylvania in there as well. They scout that pretty heavily, and they make these offers. These are the level one guys, and then they see who accepts, and then from there, however many scholarships they have left, they monitor the season, and then they'll come back after the season and kind of fill out the class. Well, obviously, they've had a lot of success of late, and they got a lot of the guys to say yes that they wanted. And it was, you're right, Al, it was an unusual position for Mark D'Antonio to be in, albeit one that I'm sure he was pleased to be in. It was good to hear that all these guys he wanted were ready to say yes and get on board. I give a lot of credit to Messiah DeWeaver, the quarterback. You know, those kids, Messiah and Cam Chambers, really kind of did their own recruiting. They kind of started the Dream Team 2016 on the internet and were reaching out to other recruits and trying to get some momentum in their class, and I think it worked really well. I think Curtis Blackwell had a lot to do with that behind the scenes. I think he's brought a philosophy to Michigan State that's a winner, and all you need to do is look and see how many of the great Detroit players are coming to Michigan State. You know, as for, you know, who I'm excited to see, really all of them. You know, you never know who's going to jump out at you. You know, this year, Andrew Dowell was a guy. Michigan State didn't even need a freshman impact linebacker. And who's this number five guy, Andrew Dowell? And you go to Mike Trussell and you go, who is this guy? And you go, hey, we thought we were going to redshirt him, but he's playing so good, we got to put him out there. So I guess for me, you hope to see some dynamic players at the receiver position. I think that was missing last year. I think Aaron Burbidge had a great year, but I don't think McGarrett Kings really did. I don't think A.J. Troop really did. I think R.J. Shelton is a nice possession receiver. But I think you need to see someone like a Cam Chambers or a Donnie Corley, a Justin Lane or a Tristan Jackson, one of these Fab Four receivers, as they're calling them. It'd be good to see Michigan State get that guy, like Alabama had in Calvin Ridley, that guy that goes deep and just scares the hell out of the coaching staff, and the safeties have to take a step back. It'd be great to see MSU with that kind of explosive player.
That is so true. All right, Mike, before we get you out of here, I want to bring up the conversation that started today's show this afternoon, and we just had a conversation about Rashad Weaver and Eric Swanson, of course, the two commitments. Just a really sticky situation when concerning those two individuals and what took place throughout their recruiting process concerning Jim Harbaugh and the Michigan football team. What are your thoughts on those two stories, and what are your thoughts on what Jim Harbaugh has been able to do turning around this program to now, what, like the number four recruiting program in all of the state? All of the nation, I should say.
Well, I think Michigan's always recruited well. I mean, Michigan's got a great tradition and a great institution to recruit to. Regardless of who's been the head coach, they've always recruited well if you look at the rankings. And I don't know whether it's a chicken and egg thing. I mean, do guys get rated high because they go to Michigan? I know that a couple of years ago, a quarterback got bumped up a star, and the MSU quarterback lost a star after they committed. And the MSU, you know, Brian Lewerke, he pointed that out. He said, I don't get it. Somehow I lost a star when I committed to MSU. This guy commits to Michigan, he gets a star. And that's because, you know, Michigan fans, you know, they pay a lot of money to be a part of these recruiting services. And those are the clientele and the customers. And if you're a recruiting service, what do people want? They want good news. Give them good news. Put more stars on there. More right. People will sign up for a recruiting subscription. More money for everybody. So I don't necessarily put a lot of stock into all of the recruiting rankings. I think some of them hold water, and I think some are better than others. I know I have a partnership with 24/7 Sports is who MLive is associated with. I think those guys do a great job. But as to what's happened with Harbaugh and these other players, you know, I'll be honest, Al, you know, Mark D'Antonio pulled a scholarship this year, and he pulled a scholarship of a kid that went to an Ohio State exposure camp and didn't tell him, and there was a lack of communication, and because of that, you know, Mark D'Antonio felt like that player hadn't honored the code, if you will. You know, Mark D'Antonio's belief is, hey, if you commit to us, you shouldn't need to be taking any more visits, and if by chance you feel like you have to take a visit, call us and tell us why, at least talk about it. And that didn't happen. So to Mark D'Antonio's credit, he says that it's an individual school's decision. And quite frankly, if you want to look at what Nick Saban's done at Alabama, it doesn't get any more cutthroat than that. If you want to talk about character of recruits, if you want to talk about pulling scholarships, if you want to talk about running people off, we could talk all day about that, Al. But all they're going to do at Alabama is show you that national championship trophy and point to the scoreboard. So that's why sometimes when people give Mark Antonio or the Spartans a hard time and say, hey, well, you didn't beat Alabama or you lost to Ohio State, I pull those people aside. Let me just ask you something. I'm just a sports writer here. I get paid the same. It doesn't matter whether Michigan State wins or loses. But how do you want your school to go about their business? I know at the end of the day it's about wins and losses, but if I were a Michigan State fan, I think the thing that I would be most proud about is the character that Mark D'Antonio has brought in the way him and Tom Izzo operate in their programs. You don't see any major violations up here. You don't see anybody getting thrown under the bus for character issues or players getting run off and saying bad things about the coaching staff. And to me, that makes a louder statement over the long run than one bowl game.
Very well put, and I agree 1,000%. Mike Griffith, Michigan State sports reporter for MLive.com and host of the Spartan Beat, which airs weekdays from 6 to 7 p.m. on the team, 92.1 FM. Mike, thanks so much for your time this afternoon. It was a pleasure, my friend.
Always enjoy talking with you, and glad to see you at all the events, Al. Always glad to see you at all these MSU events. You're a guy that does his homework, and I know your listeners know that. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, I'm trying, brother. Just trying to be like you when I grow up, all right? Mike Griffith, the one and only. Gotta love him. All right, well, let's put a bow on today's show, Isaac. A lot to digest. I thought that Mike had some great points. Some great points that are hard, very hard to ignore when talking about the recruiting process, when talking about what Coach D'Antonio has been able to establish here on this campus in comparison to other schools. I'm not taking any shots. I'm just preaching right now. What did you think about what Mike had to say?
Well, I'd like to go back to what he first said about Connor Cook, because I thought that was very interesting, because it is true. A lot of these football players have inflated and swollen personas, not just Connor Cook. You see a few instances that might have gotten blown out of proportion, but at the same time, it says something to me, and I think this is hard to ignore, when a senior quarterback who's set to be the winningest quarterback in class history, in MSU history, is not named a captain. So I still have my questions about Connor Cook. I'm interested to see where he'll fall.
Hold on, so
you and I had these questions over the summer.
Well, we've had – so the fact that Connor Cook was not named a captain – you think that speaks some sort of volume to his character?
That doesn't irk you? That doesn't irk you a little bit?
Not at all. I mean, we're talking about, okay, if you want to go that route.
From the quarterback position?
As a quarterback, and actually, you know, one of our interns for this semester, Brett Cass and I, we were talking about this before we took the air. When it comes to Connor Cook being named the captain, captainship in some regards is overrated. When you play the quarterback position, Isaac, you are automatically a leader of the team. You don't need that big C on your jersey for that volume to be spoken at the time. Tom Izzo, for example, he didn't even have a captain the entire basketball year last year. So I don't think you got to take that with a big, huge truck of salt.
I'm just saying, you see other quarterbacks who still do have that captaincy, though, because their teammates vote on it. I'm not saying it means that much. You don't need it. But the team still votes on it. The team votes on it. I think that says a little bit. And Al, you took more issue than I did with Connor Cook and the Archie Griffin snub.
Yeah, that looked ugly. That was really, really ugly. But you know, Connor realized that it was ugly. He came out and apologized. His apology seemed very sincere.
It did.
This is what I think rubs a lot of people wrong when it comes to Connor Cook. It's just like what Mike was talking about. His overall demeanor at times, when he's talking or when he's being interviewed. I mean, Connor Cook is a guy who has a lot of swag. He knows he's good, and that can come off as arrogant at times. And when you and again, in comparison to the quarterback who came before him, Kirk Cousins, I mean,
anybody's going to pay on comparison. And he's the number three quarterback no matter what besides Paxton Lynch and Jared Goff. So it doesn't matter at the end of the day.
We will have more on this on tomorrow's show, folks. Thanks to all of you out there for tuning in. Thanks to Mike Griffith. Thanks for listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR's Current Sports East Lansing. Take care.